Atomic Structure Podcast, GCSE Chemistry at Excel Specification 1.4. Hello, and welcome to this GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast on Atomic Structure. I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're just starting this topic or doing last-minute revision before your exam, this episode is designed to give you everything you need to understand atoms inside and out, and more importantly, to pick up those crucial marks in your EdExcel exam. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to explore the fascinating world inside atoms. We'll journey through the history of atomic models, understand what atoms are actually made of, and tackle one of the trickiest calculations in GCSE chemistry, relative atomic mass. I'll also share some insider exam tips that examiners are looking for, highlight the most common mistakes students make, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's dive into the atom. Let's start with the basics. What actually is an atom? Well, atoms are the fundamental building blocks of all matter. Everything around you, from the air you breathe to the device you're listening on, is made of atoms. But here's the thing. Atoms are incredibly tiny. We're talking about a diameter of around 1/10 billionth of a meter. That's 0.1 nanometers. To put that in perspective, if an atom were the size of a football stadium, the nucleus would be about the size of a pea in the center circle. Now, atoms themselves are made up of three types of subatomic particles, and you absolutely must know these inside out for your exam. Let's break them down. First, we have protons. These are positively charged particles with a relative charge of +1. They have a relative mass of 1, and they're found in the nucleus at the center of the atom. The number of protons in an atom is called the atomic number, and this is what defines which element an atom belongs to. For example, all carbon atoms have exactly 6 protons. If an atom has 7 protons, it's not carbon anymore, it's nitrogen. Second, we have neutrons. These are neutral particles, meaning they have no charge at all. Like protons, they also have a relative mass of 1, and they're also found in the nucleus. Neutrons are really important because they add mass to the atom without changing its charge. And here's a key point. Atoms of the same element can have different numbers of neutrons. We call these different versions isotopes, and we'll come back to those in a moment. Third, we have electrons. These are negatively charged particles with a relative charge of -1. Now, electrons are absolutely tiny compared to protons and neutrons. Their relative mass is 1 over 1840, which is so small we often just say it's nearly zero or negligible. Electrons don't live in the nucleus. Instead, they orbit around it in regions called shells or energy levels. In a neutral atom, the number of electrons always equals the number of protons, which means the positive and negative charges balance out. Let me give you an exam tip right now. When you're asked to describe the position of subatomic particles, be specific. Don't just say protons are in the middle. Say protons and neutrons are found in the nucleus at the center of the atom, while electrons occupy shells or energy levels around the nucleus. That specificity earns you marks. Now let's talk about how our understanding of atoms has evolved. This is a favorite topic for 6-mark questions, so pay close attention. Back in 1803, John Dalton proposed that atoms were solid, indivisible spheres, a bit like tiny snooker balls. Each element had its own type of atom, but there was no internal structure. This was the solid sphere model. Then in 1897, J.J. Thomson discovered the electron. This was a game changer because it meant atoms did have internal structure. Thomson proposed the plum pudding model, where the atom was a sphere of positive charge with tiny negative electrons embedded in it, like raisins in a pudding. Notice there's no nucleus in this model. That's a common mistake students make. Everything changed in 1911 when Ernest Rutherford and his team conducted the famous alpha particle scattering experiment. They fired positively charged alpha particles at a thin sheet of gold foil. Most particles passed straight through, but a few were deflected at large angles and some even bounced straight back. This was astonishing. It showed that the atom was mostly empty space, but it had a tiny, dense, positively charged nucleus at its center. This was the nuclear model. Finally, in 1913, Niels Bohr refined this further by proposing that electrons don't just orbit randomly. They move in fixed shells or energy levels at specific distances from the nucleus. This is the model we still use today at GCSE level. Now, let's tackle isotopes and relative atomic mass, because this is where students often lose marks. Isotopes are atoms of the same element that have the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. For example, carbon has 3 common isotopes, carbon-12, carbon-13, and carbon-14. They all have 6 protons and 6 electrons, but they have 6, 7, and 8 neutrons respectively. The key definition for your exam is, isotopes are atoms of the same element with the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. Don't say different masses or different electrons because that won't get you the mark. Because isotopes have different masses, we need a way to calculate an average mass for an element. That's where relative atomic mass comes in. The formula is sum of mass times abundance divided by total abundance. If you're given percentages, you divide by 100. If you're given actual abundances, you divide by the sum of those abundances. Let me walk you through a quick example. Suppose chlorine has two isotopes, chlorine 35 with 75% abundance and chlorine 37 with 25% abundance. The calculation would be 35 times 75 plus 37 times 25, all divided by 100. That gives you 2,625 plus 925, which is 3,550, divided by 100 equals 35.5. Always show you're working, because even if you make an arithmetic error, you can still pick up method marks. Right, let's talk about how to actually apply this knowledge in your exam. EdExcel loves testing atomic structure through a mix of recall questions and application questions. You'll see one-mark questions asking you to state the charge or mass of a particle. You'll see calculation questions on relative atomic mass, and you'll see longer six-mark questions asking you to compare atomic models or explain experimental evidence. Here are the most common mistakes I see students make and how to avoid them. Mistake number one, confusing atomic number with mass number. Remember, atomic number is the number of protons, and it's the smaller number on the periodic table. Mass number is the total number of protons plus neutrons, and it's the larger number. When you're calculating the number of neutrons, it's mass number minus atomic number. Mistake number two, describing isotopes incorrectly. Don't say they have different electrons or just different masses. You must mention that they have the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. That's the definition examiners are looking for. Mistake number three, forgetting to divide by 100 in relative atomic mass calculations when you're given percentages. This is such an easy mark to lose. Always check your final step. Mistake number four, saying the plum pudding model has a nucleus. It doesn't. The nucleus was only discovered with Rutherford's experiment. The plum pudding model is a sphere of positive charge with electrons embedded in it. And here's a top exam technique tip. For six-mark questions, structure your answer clearly. Use paragraphs. Address each part of the question in turn. For example, if you're comparing the plum pudding and nuclear models, talk about the distribution of mass, the distribution of charge, and the presence of empty space. Use linking words like however, in contrast, and this shows that. Examiners love clear, structured answers. Okay, time to test yourself. I'm going to ask you five quick questions. Pause the podcast after each one and see if you can answer it. Ready? Question one. What is the relative charge of a neutron? Answer, zero. Neutrons are neutral. Question two, where are electrons found in an atom? Answer, in shells or energy levels around the nucleus. Question three, define isotopes. Answer, atoms of the same element with the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. Question four, which atomic model was proposed after the alpha particle scattering experiment? Answer, the nuclear model proposed by Rutherford. Question five. If an atom has an atomic number of 11 and a mass number of 23, how many neutrons does it have? Answer, 12 neutrons. That's mass number minus atomic number, 23 minus 11 equals 12. How did you do? If you got all five, fantastic. If not, go back and review those sections. All right, let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the structure of the atom, including protons, neutrons, and electrons. We've journeyed through the history of atomic models from Dalton to Bohr. We've defined isotopes and worked through relative atomic mass calculations. And we've highlighted the key exam techniques and common mistakes to avoid. Remember, atomic structure is foundational for so much of your chemistry course. Understanding this topic will help you with bonding, the periodic table, and even rates of reaction. So make sure you're confident with these concepts. Before your exam, practice those relative atomic mass calculations until they're second nature. Make sure you can describe the position and properties of subatomic particles precisely. And for those six-mark questions, practice structuring your answers clearly and using the correct scientific terminology. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful and that you feel more confident about atomic structure. Good luck with your revision, and remember, you've got this.